This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
We are going to change our pace and consider what is first an inconceivable test, yet is the initial approval of God's redemptive and covenant purpose. And Dr. Wyatt shares that God will provide.
Thank you, Dennis. Yes, this is a change of pace, for Sharon's reading is from the book of Genesis, the 22nd chapter. As we look at what is the beginning of our faith, this is something we need to understand fully. Stay tuned.
As father and son both went together, Isaac said to his father, "My father," Abraham responded, "Here am I, my son." Isaac said, "Here is the fire and the wood, but where, my father, is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them, up on the mountain. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar and laid the wood in order upon it, and then bound Isaac, his son, and then laid him on the altar upon the wood. Then Abraham put forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, saying, "Abraham, Abraham!" And he responded, "Here am I. Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son.
Thank you, Sharon, so very much. What Sharon has read is a very familiar passage to both Christians and Jews. It is a landmark passage marking the epitome of Abraham's faith and God's blessing to him and his descendants. And for Christians, the foreshadowing of Calvary and the sacrifice once more of the Son, your only son. It will always be a significant story, one that remains striking in its images, profound in its meaning, haunting in what it says, and mysterious on many levels. Its antiquity is obvious, certainly a story retold for centuries, and it is too critical and important to Israel's history to not be genuine. The skeptic's efforts to doubt this concise and beautifully crafted narrative fails, first because this story troubled the ancient rabbis so much that they endeavored to rewrite it and did completely twist its interpretation. That God would even ask that the child Isaac be sacrificed was totally unacceptable to the rabbis, which not only affirms its antiquity, but its authenticity. Also, the language, style, and pathos speaks of a complete story, not one cobbled together at some later date. It flows in the Hebrew like a seamless robe, with tenderness, yet building drama. It is a story that is stark in its horror, fear, and yet admiration, but also is harsh to our modern ears. How is this all possible, and what is God trying to do? Our text calls this a test, that God tested Abraham. But surely God knew just how Abraham will respond. Thus the test was for Abraham, that he might know the depth of his faith, and yes, his trust in God, especially concerning the promise. Abraham's legacy of faith is based primarily on this event, for in the past he has shown great lapses, and primarily would be the effort to produce the promised son, doing so without God, which is never a good idea. The previous chapter has related the momentous event when at long last, against all human possibilities, given Sarah's age, the promised child was born, which would be followed by the expulsion of Ishmael and his mother, the bondwoman Hagar. Now with this searing separation in the past, Abraham's faith, his obedience will be tried to the utmost. He has lost one son, now he is to give up the other. Can Abraham trust and obey when it all seems hopeless, perhaps even utterly meaningless? Does he worship God because it pays for him to do so? As Satan will assert concerning Job, does Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not put a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hand, and his possessions have increased in the land. Unquote. This was the accuser's claim concerning Job. Was the same true of Abraham? And was his trust in God transient? Would he try to once more do things his own way rather than allow God to lead and enable? Of course, Abraham doesn't know this is but a test. It is all too real. It is always that way. Few are given a warning, as was Peter. That same accuser has demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But Jesus says, I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. Mary and Martha would be asked also to trust our Lord concerning their brother Lazarus. Also theirs is an offer to trust, to have faith. How we respond to such is critical, always. But here God asks the unthinkable, yet does so with such gentleness, for he knows what he is asking. God says, please take your son, your only son whom you love. Here Isaac is called the only son, for he is the son of God's promise, the one, the only one of divine purpose. Clearly we do not have all that was spoken between the two, God and Abram. Here is only the briefest of directions. Go to the land of Moriah, upon one of the mountains of which I will tell you. It is hard not to at least imagine Abraham expressing some hard questions. Why ask this? This can't be right. This surely is not God's voice I am hearing. All of which would be natural, expected, and right given the command to offer up your only son, the one whom you love, as a burnt offering. I know I would, for what is being asked is horrific. So much so, as I said, the ancient rabbis had a great deal of trouble with this entire narrative, despite its clear importance to the existence of Israel and her promises to this day. But here is the uncompromising and seemingly stern command. Go by yourself from your country. Offer him as a burnt offering. To carry this command out would seem to destroy any chance of the repeated promises to Abraham as being fulfilled, which are all tied up in this young boy, Isaac. We do not know what Abraham thought deep down inside, but no one can believe that he did not put up an argument. But it comes down to whom do you love more? What is and who is first in your heart? Is this the precursor of our Lord calling to his disciples? He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Matthew 10:37-38. Like much that our Lord says, this is hard. Not as hard as the words spoken to Abraham, but hard enough. He, of course, his test is that of the initiator of our faith, of our understanding of the true and living God. Truth, our salvation, and destiny begins with Abraham. It is the ultimate test of faith, for here is the father of our faith, the choice of God for the plan of redemption, the very purpose of God. Perhaps this is what the rabbis failed to grasp, and its foretelling of another son who is asked to be sacrificed. Abraham, as we know, complies, and as a result reveals just how much he does love God, utterly and without holding back that which is most precious to him. We only understand in part of what is being asked of Abraham. Sacrifice, yes. Killing, oh yes. But it is a burnt offering. This is for us who are far removed from such religious rites, the total consumption by fire of what has been cut in portions and laid on an altar. It is unthinkable for us, even doing so with a mere animal. But your son? Yet human sacrifice has a long, unfortunate history among mankind. It was never condoned officially in Israel, although even some of her kings indulged in such barbarity, and it was never successfully fully stamped out until the exile to Babylon. This part of the world in ancient times found many of its cultures and pagan rites involving the sacrifice of infants, if not your firstborn son. In this cultural milieu, such a religious rite was not unheard of. But from the living God, El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty? Never. But here we are. As Abraham sets out the next morning, no delay, with just two faithful servants, a donkey, and the father and son. On the third day out from Beersheba, far to the south, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. This last portion of the journey was surely the hardest. He has heard nothing further from God, and he avoids giving any detailed explanation to others. As father and son begin the more difficult ascent, Abraham says to the servants, "Stay by yourself, that we can go and worship," and then adds, "We shall return." Is he hiding the truth, or does he believe that God will raise up Isaac after all is done? Does he hope in a change in God's command? We are left to wonder. Whatever Abraham is feeling, he presses on in silence, only to have the silence broken by Isaac asking a question that strikes to the heart of the matter. "My father," what an opening. "My father, where's the sheep for the burnt offering?" Abraham avoids the horrible truth, but what Abraham says is the real truth. God will provide, which in this case for Abraham is as much a prayer as a prophecy. If God does not in some way provide some other sacrifice, then for them to return down the mountain will require a divine act more startling than Sarah's birth of Isaac in the first place. The question of Isaac's concerning a sheep is one of total trust in his father. Or perhaps he is beginning to realize what is really being planned. Yet he will continue up the mountain with his father. What is clear is he is innocent and a perfect sacrificial victim. If Isaac does not know at this point, he will know soon enough. For once the altar is built, which will require gathering stones and the wood laid upon it, would that Isaac has brought up the slope himself. Obviously, Isaac was a strong enough child to carry a load of wood as they climbed and had the time to run away, even to resist before his father ties him up. It would seem he has allowed himself to be bound. Abraham is not the only one who is trusting. Perhaps we might say obedient unto death. No wonder the early church saw such parallels between Abraham and Isaac and Jesus and his heavenly Father. For Isaac accepts being bound, submitting to what he is now surely told was God's command. We all know what happens at this point. As Abraham places the child on the altar and raises the knife at the very last moment, poised to end the life of his son, an angel of the Lord quite literally, loudly calls out, Abraham, Abraham, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Abraham has obeyed God, despite what has been asked. Above all else, Abraham will look up to find a ram caught in a thicket. Abraham's ambiguous "God will provide a sheep" has been fulfilled indeed. The mountain's name Moriah is true. The Lord will provide. Now the angel for the last time relates once more and with greater force, for the Lord swears by his own name, as it is said, "So declares the Lord." The divine promise, his descendants will not only inherit the land, conquer it by possessing the gates of your enemy, but more, you will be a blessing to all nations of the world. All because he had not withheld his son. The similarities are there, but not exact for our New Testament. One son, the only begotten son, but he would die as the perfect, blameless, and innocent sacrifice. The lamb that again God provided. As one son is released by God's word, as proof of Abraham's ultimate trust and reliance in God, and thus we will inherit God's redemptive purpose through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, down through David, down to and including when the perfect atoning sacrifice will fully and forever fulfill that redemptive purpose. As Paul will write to the Romans, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us." And in John's familiar words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have life eternal." Such is our heritage. Such is our God. For indeed, is it not true that God has provided? Lord, may we never lose the fact and the truth that this entire journey of God's people began at this moment, that God had planned and purposed through this lineage to bless the entire earth, and we are the fruits of that promise. Lord, may we indeed bear the fruit that befits our repentance, and that we might see thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, all for your glory forever. Amen and amen.
It is upon this remarkable display of faith that God would build his covenant purposes, and what is to be our human destiny. A truly remarkable event, and more such events would follow. And that is what Thomas touches upon in his book, Wrestling with God, just how others in our redemptive history have struggled with God and what it has meant for our faith. You will want a copy of Dr. Wyatt's study titled, Wrestling with God. It can be yours at no charge. Dear ones, you know how much we appreciate all of your prayers and sincere graciousness. To those of you who are not yet a part of the Wings of Healing Outreach, we pray you would seriously consider being included in our Wings of Healing family. Supporting this ministry makes you an integral part of God's work that brings help and the Word to so many, both here and abroad. Please join with us, won't you? Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6J4N1. Also, secure contributions can be made on our website at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. This wonderful story in Genesis is where our faith begins, and it does touch us all. And this will touch you as well. This from Edie of Houston, who shares this. Dr. Wyatt, I want you to know just how our Lord has saved me from what would have been a grave mistake. from addiction and my own foolishness. He entered my life and changed everything. All I can do is just praise Him all the time. This new life is so wonderful. I couldn't agree more, Edie. And if any of you need our help, Dennis will be giving our addresses once more. But Aaron Keyes comes now to sing a favorite, Jesus Paid It All. And until next week, know that God does provide.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, and find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power in thine alone. Can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Jesus died, my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries, a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. We do encourage you to write with any questions or prayer requests. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and this week Dr. White is offering a copy of his book titled Wrestling with God. Here is presented the truth of how we all will, at those critical times, wrestle with our faith. This is an important study, one that many may need, so write this week and ask for Wrestling with God. It can be yours at no charge.
Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. White at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.